Well, let's return to Isaiah 54. Here's our theme. We are honoured by God when we come to Him through Jesus. When we should be shamed, we are honoured by Him. And this is one of the wonderful aspects of our salvation. Honoured when we should be shamed. We're going to read in verse 4 of Isaiah 54. And here it is. Do not be afraid. You will not suffer shame. Do not be afraid. You will not suffer shame. Do not fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated. You will forget the shame of your youth and remember no more the reproach of your widowhood. Now this is the word of God. This is the promise of God to all who have known shame and who do know shame in their lives. This is God's promise to you and to me today. Shame, as I've often said, is difficult to identify in our lives because we live with it all the time and it becomes invisible to us because we're constantly looking through our perspective, which is laden with shame, for many anyway. And we can't see the effect that it has on distorting our lives. But look carefully, and this is something to spend time before God just thinking about. Find a quiet spot, maybe with a cup of coffee, just sit down and just ask yourself, why do I respond in the way I do in situations where I seem to take the negatives, or I seem to feel that I don't belong, or I'm out of my depth, or whatever. These kind of reactions. And see if you can detect shame in your life. And God is promising through Jesus to take it away. So then go to the gospel and find out how Jesus removes our shame. I love this theme that we've been looking at. I came to the theme of shame because I've been feeding on this pretty much all year, this passage. And it's been a great help to me. And hope it has been given you at least a taster yourselves of what God can do in this realm of shame. And we saw that this chapter has three types of shame. It speaks about the shame of barrenness, in all the ways that we can be barren in our lives. The shame of rejection, in all the ways that we can be or feel rejected by others. And the shame of sin itself, the guilt of sin and the shame that that brings. And the shame of other people knowing what we've done. How God can take away all of these burdens from our lives. And we've looked to the cross especially. We've looked to Jesus. And we've seen Jesus is the one who removes the shame of barrenness and rejection and sin. And he's the one who makes some wonderful things possible for you and me, which we're going to think about as we close up this series this morning. We see Jesus on the cross. We see him being punished. And when we see Jesus being punished, we know he's been punished for our guilt, for our sin. But we also see Jesus being shamed, something we often don't think about. But Jesus is being deeply shamed on the cross. And we ask, whose shame is he carrying? It's not his own. It's our shame. And we see that he takes our shame, as well as our guilt, away. And this is something we receive from him by faith. And it changes our lives, because then we see that we don't have that shame to carry anymore. And we have to let ourselves be helped by Jesus, because sometimes we're too proud to be helped. And sometimes we don't want to receive help from others. We just want to keep trying to muddle along ourselves. And I know it's difficult to receive the help of others, and it's difficult to receive the help of Jesus because of that. And we can be ashamed as well of the pride that we have, and ashamed to receive help. All these kinds of shame turn up in our lives, and Jesus takes them all away at the cross. But we have to ask him to do that. But let's move on a wee bit. I'm going to look at four things this morning, just very quickly, that we haven't really thought about much, that what's that? Maybe the battery's dead. Okay, did you do that? No. Well, adoption miraculously appeared on the screen, and adoption is one of the wonderful things to think about. When you become a Christian, you become a member of a new family with a new father. A new family and a new father. And remember that God is choosing us. God wants us as his children. So if we want to be his children, he'll take us. He'll take us as his children. And being adopted into God's family, it removes so many things that are a shame to us. I shared with you about being rejected by my own father when I was 13. He just walked away. And that's a shame I've carried throughout my life. But as we realise that I'm not rejected by my father, because my father's in heaven, and my father wants me and loves me, and even was prepared to give his own beloved son for me, that takes away that shame. And so many family dynamics create shame in our lives. We can have parents who are constantly shaming us by making us feel that we're not good enough. But our Heavenly Father takes all that away, because he loves us. He wants us. He chose us. So, when Jesus died on that cross, he took away the shame of being rejected, the shame of being maybe not feeling quite part of the family, because we very much are part of the family, in God's family. But then you might say, but then what happens if you go out from church this morning and, you know, you do something publicly that brings shame on God? Like Roddy, you're supposed to be God's child, God's son, and you go and lose your temper. Or you go and drive recklessly back home to Barrackle, and you know, you're seen speeding out of Kyle at 60 miles an hour or something. And people are saying, no, if that's a Christian, you know. And that's a very real thing, because then you might think, well, actually, you're bringing shame to God. And why would God want to have family that brings shame to him? But again, you remember, all the shame is taken away by Jesus. It's not possible for God to be ashamed or to be shamed by us. Jesus takes all the shame so it doesn't fall on our Father. So even when we do ourselves fail, and we don't look at all like we really are the children of God, Jesus has taken away all of that shame, so that our adoption and our position in God's family is secure. We need to hold on to that. The cross takes away all shame, and so we can be secure in God's family. Now, these are things you need to think about. You need to let them soak in, so that they become very, very personal, very, very real, and life-transforming. Let's see the second one. Here we go. Assurance. Now, again, the way we feel about ourselves often makes it difficult for us to connect with God. We kind of feel to ourselves like, you know, why would God want me? Why would God bother about me? Now, here I am, I'm sitting, feeling miserable or self-pitying, or I've just blown it again, or, you know, whatever it is. Why would God want me? If you know even a little hint about how great the glory of God is, you think, why would he bother with me? But again, this taking away of shame gives us an assurance with God, so that we know that even though we feel about ourselves ashamed, we know that that's not how God thinks about us. You know, sometimes we know when we're among people, I know that some of us are more prone to this than others, but when we're among people, we can just feel this kind of, I don't really belong here. These people are too good for me. I'm not good enough for them. Can you imagine then if, like with the children, we've stepped into heaven? Well, that would be, we'd be crushed by that. We definitely wouldn't be good enough to be there. But the cross takes shame away. So that we can, as we sang a minute ago, stand among the nobles. We can stand among any company, knowing that even though we might not have an MBE or, you know, a PhD, you know, or we might not have £1 million in the bank or whatever it is, none of that matters because we're God's child. Sorry, if you have got an MBE or anything else here, nothing wrong with that. But you know, most of us don't have these kind of things that you know, we use as humans to put people up. And if you don't have that, I mean, I know that myself. I often feel very out of depth in company. But God is my Father. And that assurance I have, it has to get the better of any feelings of shame that I have in my life. God is my Father. The third thing we think about is access. And that is that because we are God's children, we actually have access to Him. Now, one of the things that keeps many, many people from ever praying is shame. Because we feel that, why would God want me to speak to Him? You know, I don't feel good enough to come into His presence. And sometimes as Christians, we're in that position too. We're not praying because we're feeling bad about ourselves. And we're feeling, why would He want me the way I am? And what Jesus does for us through the cross is to take away that shame. And even if we're still feeling it ourselves, it's gone in reality. God isn't looking on us and feeling about us the way we feel about ourselves. So we have access to God no matter how we feel. It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter how rubbish you feel about yourself. And it doesn't matter how you're looking on yourself or how you think other people are looking on you. You have access to God at the cross. So verse 4, I'll just read it again because it's the basis of everything. Do not be afraid, you will not suffer shame. Do not fear disgrace, you will not be humiliated. You will forget the shame of your youth and remember no more the reproach of your widowhood. Remember, that was Jerusalem, that was the city that had been so shamed and rejected by God because they'd been taken away because of their idolatry and their worship of other gods to Babylon, and they'd been ashamed there, very ashamed. But God brought them back to Jerusalem, and God brings us to Himself in Jesus, and we have access to Him. And it's not just that we have access in prayer, it's like where God thinks we are is not like sitting here in church. God thinks of us as seated with Jesus. Jesus died for us, but we're not there at the cross anymore because He rose again and He ascended to heaven. So we're not there at the cross with Jesus because He's not there anymore. We're up with Him at God's right hand in heaven. We are, as Paul says, seated in the heavenly places in Christ. We're right in God's presence all the time. That's how God thinks of us. So we shouldn't ever feel that we can't come to God in prayer. We shouldn't ever feel that we sort of should hide from Him, or that we have just gone too far astray or gotten too bad a place, because our gospel, the gospel of salvation, takes away our shame, gives us access to God. So, fourth thing as well, anticipation. Because the gospel that takes away our shame, it gives us hope. It gives us hope of a forever without shame. Now, I found it helpful at this to think about, or to imagine, Jesus leaving a will when he died. It's always good if people leave a will when they die, because it makes it a lot easier for others afterwards. And there is one place in the book of Hebrews where it speaks about a will, and Jesus, a will be made when Jesus died. And it's a helpful way to think about things. Because if we think about Jesus leaving a will, what would you imagine Jesus would leave in his will when he died? Well, you might think he would leave in his will that when he rises again, everything that he had when he died will be his. You know, that his righteousness, his amazing righteousness that he'd lived out with right through life, that he would keep that righteousness and go and be in the presence of the Father and ascend to heaven. But wills sometimes provide a surprise, don't they? It's not always a good surprise, but in this case, the will of Jesus is a very, very wonderful surprise, isn't it? And that surprises, if you start reading the will of Jesus, you almost wouldn't be listening, really. You'd be sort of, you know, I bequeath, you know, all that I am and all that I have and all of my righteousness, and you're just expecting him to bequeath it on himself because he's alive again and he's risen and he's just going to take it all for himself again. I bequeath my righteousness. I bequeath all that I have upon my people. And everyone pricks up their ears and says, what? Do you mean what you are and the righteousness that you have and the fact that you are heir of all things, that the Father who created the universe has made you the heir of it, and you know that you have at your disposal everything that there is? Yes. That's true. And then that you would share that with us. Yes. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that we here now, who may think, you know, that we don't really have much and that we can't hold on to what we have in the will of Jesus be made heirs of everything and of his righteousness. And that's important. As we read at the end of the chapter, this is their vindication or their righteousness from me, says the Lord. Which means that if you are righteous with the righteousness that Jesus has given to you in his will, you can go anywhere. You can go into heaven. You can go into the presence of the Father, because God the Father is pleased to have righteous people, righteous creatures like the angels, in his presence. And if you have been bequeathed in Jesus all things, then think of the riches that are yours and of the future that you have. And all because Jesus has taken away your shame. So that whatever you were, whatever could be said about you in the past is gone. And you're new. And you have all the great gifts of Jesus' will to you. Righteousness and all things. Heirs with him. What is the opposite of shame? What is it that we have instead of shame? If Jesus takes away shame, what is it we have? Well, it says in the verse that we looked at, do not be afraid, you will not suffer shame. You will forget the shame. And it may seem, first of all, that what Jesus is offering is just to take away shoes and it's gone. Well, that in itself is a wonderful thing. If I can live my life free from shame, that's a great gift. But then I began to think, well, actually, maybe the opposite of shame is acceptance. Just knowing that we're accepted. You know, it's great to be in company where there isn't shame, where everyone just accepts one another as equals. No one's putting anyone else down or showing them their position, or where they lie in the pecking order. It's great to be in that kind of company. Christian fellowship should definitely be like that. Acceptance is a wonderful thing. But then, the Bible tells us that God gives us more than that. He doesn't just take away our shame. He doesn't just accept us as we are through Jesus. He honours us. I think the opposite of being shamed is being honoured. Being honoured with Jesus. We sang about that. Being honoured. Now we are used to thinking about other people perhaps being honoured. Being placed up on some high pedestal. We're used to thinking, you know, about honour being something for, you know, for the high and the mighty. But in Christ, we are honoured. We are honoured to sit with the nobles. We are honoured to sit with Jesus. In Christ, we are lifted high. Maybe if we're thinking about Jesus actually telling us about his last will, it could be that he did that in John 17, John chapter 17. And this is what he said. On the basis of what he knows about the Father's purpose for us. He says, Father, I want those you have given me. Who's that? You're sitting there thinking, that's me. You should be. I mean, if you're not thinking that yet, well, it's there for you. And you need to reach out and take it. Because this is what Jesus says. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory. The glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. What is Jesus' will for us? I want those you have given me to be with me where I am. To see Jesus' glory because we're with Jesus in glory. That is what we anticipate. That's a great thing that we look forward to. And whatever Jesus has for us in the future will be with him. And we'll see his glory. And our shame will be gone. And in place of our shame won't just be acceptance, but it'll be honour. This is what the gospel is. I know it's a long way away from what we often think when we first become Christians. Because when you first become Christians, often our focus is on, you know, I have sinned against God and I need his forgiveness. And I get his forgiveness. And it feels like that's the most wonderful thing in the world. Just to know that the past's guilt and shame is gone. It's a wonderful thing. But really it's just the beginning of all that God has for us. And we can't actually know what the future really holds because it's better than we can think about. And what the future holds, Jesus says, is that they may be with me where I am and behold my glory with Jesus in the presence of his glory. Without shame and all the other things that go with the life that went wrong. And with honour in his presence. It could be hard for you and me to think about that, because life has a tendency to wear us down and a tendency to keep our thoughts rooted in very ordinary things. But the gospel takes us beyond that, and it gives us an anticipation, an excited anticipation that we can live with, and it transforms the present. So we're not just thinking about how bad things are right now, or we're not just thinking about the burdens or the worries or the responsibilities that we have right now. We have anticipation. We're looking forward to great things. We're looking forward to glory with Jesus Christ. And he is now inviting you and me to live in that anticipation because of what he's done for us. Let's pray for a moment together. Lord, we want to grasp these things. We don't want them to be alien to us. We don't want to be so controlled by what's going on in our hearts and in our lives and in the world that we can't get past what's happening in the world and in our lives and in our hearts. So help us, Lord and Heavenly Father, help us to think about the words that we've read, about how you enable us to forget our shame, how you enable us to begin lives with honour and lives with confidence and access and acceptance and adoption and anticipation, all the wonderful things that we can have in your presence. Please help us now, Lord, to live in the joy and in the power of these, for Jesus' sake. Amen.